Good afternoon and welcome to Sanctify My Heart. This afternoon we are going to be studying from the book of Romans, chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse 31. This is a favorite passage of mine, and I hope you'll get your Bible out and follow along as we study. Again, that's in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 31.
What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, in what things? In trouble, in hardship, in persecution, in famine, in nakedness, danger, and sore. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the church said, Amen. These are verses that tend to inspire, that tend to rebuild our confidence and help us to focus back on how life really is. That we are more than conquerors through Him. There are certain attitudes we could have. I made a list here of just, I guess, what we call defeatist attitudes. Now, you see if we don't sometimes identify with these things and see if these aren't the thoughts that have gone through your head here lately. Nobody cares about me, and nobody cares about my problems. Everybody seems to be against me. I'm worried that nothing will work out right. I'm suspicious of others who are against me. Woe is me. Gloom and doom is all around me. Like the song Marty and I thought about singing, Gloom, despair, and agony on me. We walk around sometimes with that kind of a Christian attitude, don't un-Christian attitude. We walk around in this life, whoa, and that's just the way we live. Nobody ever seems to see the things from my perspective. I feel so nervous and full of anxiety, I'm afraid I will have a nervous breakdown. I cannot seem to overcome my temptations. I cannot seem to control my anger and feelings of frustration. I have responsibilities that I cannot seem to handle. Anybody identifying yet with any of these statements? Everybody identifying yet with some of these things? I seem to always be misunderstood. I sometimes feel prejudicial to my own people. I sometimes feel enslaved to my own sins. I sometimes criticize people too much. Some people defame me and try to belittle me. Sometimes I exaggerate to get people's attention. Sometimes I get so cynical, I have a hard time seeing anything positive. Sometimes I feel like I could do something better somewhere else with other people. And sometimes I feel that my life has no real significance. I don't have to ask for a show of hands. We've all been there. And sometimes we've been in every single one of those statements all at the same time. I could tell you people right now I know are right there in the middle of all of that. The sad thing is that when we begin to believe those things about ourselves, they become like a self-fulfilling prophecy. I feel like there's, that last one, sometimes I feel that my life has no real significance. And you know what? When we think that way, at least in our own eyes, it becomes true. We become insignificant. I can't do anything for that church, so we don't. I can't do anything for that family, so we don't. And then we do lose our significance. I can't find any joy in this circumstance, and so if we've already convinced ourselves there is none, we're not going to look for it. And if we don't look for it, we're sure not going to find it. And we just become people who are totally defeated. And when the saddest thing of all is not just when a person has those attitudes, but I think the saddest thing of all is when a Christian has those attitudes. When we begin to see ourselves as people in Christ with no significance. When we begin to believe, really believe the lies that Satan would tell us, that circumstances really are greater than what we can handle. Folks, that's never true. Hear that. It is never true that our circumstances are greater than we can handle if we're in Christ. What are some of the other statements we could have made? Somebody else made both these lists. I just thought it was really good. These all come from verses. We won't look at them all because there are too many. These would be the things that God would have us remember instead. These are the kind of attitudes that make you an overwhelming conqueror in Christ. And you'll recognize the verses here. Nothing can separate me from Christ's love, right there from Romans chapter 8. That's a lot different from nobody cares about me and my problems, isn't it? If we understand, not only is it not true that nobody cares, but that God in heaven Himself cares and does something about it. It's not in the new book, but in our old book was a book or a song written by a teacher of mine, Paul Epps. He wrote it after his son had been killed in a motorcycle accident. It's called Jesus Knows, Jesus Cares. I know I led it back when we had the other books a few times. And you go find an old book, and you look that up. Jesus Knows and Cares by Paul Epps. And that's the truth. That's what he's trying to tell us all throughout this chapter. God knows. God cares. That nobody cares about me or my problems, it just isn't true. If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8. I can do everything God asks me to do with the help of Christ, who gives me strength and power. That's a summary of Philippians 4:13. I believe the best in every person until proven otherwise. I'd say that came from Philippians chapter 4. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, we ought to be looking at other people the way that God looks at them. I will never desert you or forsake you, so that you can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. From whom then shall I be afraid? God works all things together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Again, Romans 8. Do not look out for your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Philippians 4. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2. I said I wasn't going to tell you where all these were, but you know, it comes to your mind as you read them. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do we believe these things? Do we really believe them? Because the truth is that what Paul writes there is absolutely a fact. It's not a hope. It's not a dream. It's not just an ideal of what could be. That we could, if we were everything we ought to be conquerors in Christ. That's an important thing to understand. Because we look at ourselves, and we want to look at this side of the paper, right? We want to look at this, and you notice which side has more, by the way. We want to look at this side of the paper, and we want to call ourselves failures. And we could rightly do so. We could say, I failed to live up to everything that God wanted me to be. I failed to live up to everything my wife wanted to be, everything the children wanted me to be, everything the boss wanted me to be, everything that my neighbor wanted me to be, and I have failed. And we could look at life that way. But it wouldn't be biblical. It wouldn't be biblical. Now we need to own up to and acknowledge and repent of where we fail. But we also need to understand that if we have owned up to and acknowledged and repented of where we've fallen, we need to understand God forgives. And He doesn't just forgive us of what we've done. He helps us to overcome so that next time we do better if we just trust Him. And that's what we need to know, and that's what we need to understand, is that God does make us conquerors. You look at everything we face in life, regardless of what it is, physical, spiritual, emotional, financial, whatever it is, God helps us to overwhelmingly conquer. I think that's the New American Standard that uses that word, overwhelmingly conquer. I love that phrase. Whenever I think of overwhelming, I don't know what it is. I go back to vacation when I was a little boy and we were at Galveston. And we went out to get into the waves. And as the tide was coming in, you know, those waves get bigger and bigger. And they just absolutely, this is the meaning of overwhelming for me. They absolutely overpower you and push you back in and sometimes take you under. And the force of that wave is so much greater than yourself that you just, there's nothing you can do to stop it. Can you picture, I think I was about 9 years old, can you picture a 9-year-old out there trying to stop the waves? You're not going to do it. And what kind of a conqueror does he say he makes us? An overwhelming conqueror. Something that can't be stopped. Something that we don't just overcome Satan. We don't just overcome sin in our lives through Christ. we overwhelmingly overcome Satan and sin in our life when we trust the Lord. When it's by His strength, by His power, and by His might. It's more than just saying, "Whew, I made it by the skin of my teeth." We don't get into heaven that way. We overwhelmingly conquer and are ushered in a great parade of triumph into heaven by Christ. Now what he says, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look over there. It's one of my favorite passages that talks about the victory we have in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 14, Paul writes, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ Jesus, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task?" And we ask ourselves that, don't we? You look here and he says, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ Jesus," or in Christ. When what he's talking about there is a victory parade. You know, we all of a sudden, I remember 5 years ago, this is what we talked about. This verse, that he leads us in a parade saying, "I won." And Jesus is out there in front, and he's saying, "I won." When they would have one of these triumph parades, the commanding general who had won the battle would be out front in all of the victorious garb and on the white horse, and he leads in victory. And people are there, and they're burning incense, and they're banging cymbals, and they're doing all kinds of things to celebrate this great, wonderful victory. And one of the important points about this is, you didn't get a parade for just winning any battle. There were guidelines. You had to overwhelmingly conquer in order to receive one of these parades. And how does He lead us? In one of those parades. Because in Christ we overwhelmingly conquer. And they would go through the middle of Rome, and they would shout, and they would celebrate. And he would lead the forces that had been in the battle, and he would lead those who had been conquered in the battle. And that's the picture you have here, that Christ leads us in a triumphal parade, a procession, because he won. He won. And in everything in life that we face, if we are in Christ, he's won it. We'll just trust and we'll just follow. It doesn't make any sense, does it, to step out of the procession and say, "You know, I just don't know if he's going to win or not." He's already celebrating the victory. They're already having the parade. And yet we sometimes want to stand on the sidelines and watch it go by as though we've lost. And we didn't get the news. No. In Christ, we're overwhelming conquerors. When Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he says, "Upon this rock I will build my church," he uses then a phrase, "The gates of Hades will not prevail against it." Gates are defensive, not offensive. See, we live Christian life too much on the defensive, as though we're the ones that are being attacked, and we're the ones that are on the losing side, and we're the ones who are holed up. And that's not the case, is it? When he says the gates of Hades will not prevail against it, Jesus expected us to be on the offense. We're to be storming the walls of hell, not hell storming ours. Catch that. We are to be out there taking down Satan's strongholds because of the strength that we find in Jesus Christ. We are to be out there helping people overcome sin. We are to be out there reaching out to the poor and the oppressed. We are the ones who are supposed to be out there putting up our flag on new mountains and new hills and proclaiming victory in Jesus Christ. We're the ones that are out there to be with that great big log ramming up against the gates. And what does he say? The gates of Hades will not prevail. If we are the church we're supposed to be, they won't. If we're the Christians we're supposed to be, instead of looking at ourselves with this defeatist attitude, looking at our own temptations, let's bring it down to an individual level. If we're the Christians we're supposed to be, and we look at these things that we struggle with, and we've all got them, and we look at what we struggle with, and we just think there's absolutely no way whatsoever we can overcome, he's got us. He's got us. But if we will look at the weaknesses in our own lives and the struggles in our own lives, and we will approach them with the understanding, it's more than attitude, it is an understanding and a conviction that in Christ, the walls of whatever that temptation is, whatever that struggle is, whatever that weakness or that lack of faith is, they will not stand if we will put our faith in Christ. They will not stand if we will say, you know what? I can't overcome this, but in Christ I can, and I will. That's the difference between someone who is defeated and someone who is victorious in life. Between those who walk around in bitterness and sadness and those who walk around in joy and peace. Between those who walk around in fear and rejection and those who walk around with a confidence in Christ. And a strong faith. It's having that understanding and taking on the attitude because of it. We can overcome anything. And we can get through anything. You know, sometimes we do have to play through the pain. But in Christ we can play through the pain. It doesn't matter what it is or how great it seems or how awful it seems. In Christ we can overwhelmingly conquer. Like an unstoppable wave that will reach the shore regardless of what we do. We can conquer. Satan can build all the sandcastles he wants. When we're with Christ, they're washed away immediately. And that's the kind of life we have in Christ. That's the kind of understanding that we ought to have. Some of the other things that he listed here, some of the other verses to bring us confidence. He says, I think we left off on this one. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Love not the world or the things that are in this world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the evil pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let your son go down on your anger, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. Be steadfast. I like this. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. We're going to read that one again. Be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that the labor, that your labor, is not in vain in the Lord. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously to all and without finding fault. All these verses that we share with each other on a regular basis, whether we find it in a greeting card or on a bumper sticker or a poster or in lesson plans or in a child's craft that he brings home from Sunday school or up in the top of the songbook before you sing the song, all those things are there, not just because they fit, and not just because they go with whatever it is that we're talking about. They're there because they matter. They're there because they're real and because they're true. And they're the foundation upon which our lives as Christians are built. Let's read them again here in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or sword. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. And in verse 37, if you go ahead and put that up there, we're going to get this in our minds. That's the next thing there. Knowing all these things. Nakedness, famine, sword. You put your own stuff in there. In hard times with your family, hard times at work, hard times meeting the bills, hard times whatever it is. In all those things, what are we? We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced. Get that word. For I am convinced. You're not going to change my mind. I'm unmovable on this. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Ask yourself, can you hold on to those other attitudes if you're really convinced of that? And you can. Can you hold on to the idea that nobody cares when God's made of people who do? You can. Can you hold on to the idea that God doesn't care and doesn't listen when He's standing by to make you a conqueror? You can. Everything He listed there, when He says, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Every single thing, whether it's angels or the future or demons, whether it's all those other things that He lists, every single one of those things is external. What Satan knows is that our greatest enemy and the one who has the power to defeat us is the one within. It's ourselves. The only chink in the armor of God is the one who wears it. The only one who can separate us from the love of God, that's us, when we willingly walk away from what we know. We can only walk around in a self-defeated attitude if we're self-defeated. We can only walk around with our head hung low if we choose to put our head down. Because God has made us greater than that. He's made us stronger than that. He's made us more loving and more joyful and more peaceful than that when we've let Him. He makes us overwhelming conquerors. And He wants to make you one too. If you've never let Him do that to you, He stands ready to wash away your sin, but more than that, to help you overcome it in the future. To take your weaknesses and to turn them into strengths. To take your worries and to help you find peace and strength in Him. To make you somebody that will not just skate through life and get through by the skin of your teeth, but someone who can confidently go through life in the strength that God provides, in the joy that God provides. Understanding there's a God who holds everything in His hands and holds everything good in His hands and is ready to share it with you. You can claim all those things in Christ if you put your faith in it. You'll repent. You'll confess Jesus is who He says He is, the Son of God and Lord of our lives. And if you will be buried with Him in baptism so that He can wash away your sins and give you an eternal life, a conquered eternal life.
You give the victory to all. You give the victory to all. Save me from my enemies and troubles great and small. You give the victory to all. Your love is all I need to live. Your love is all I need to live. Lead me to the victory that only You can give. Your love is all I need to live. Your home is where I want to be.
Your home is where I want to be.
Your home is where I want to be. I will not be satisfied until Your face I see. Your home is where I want to be.
Your home is where I want to be.
You give the victory to all. You give the victory to all. Save me from my enemies and troubles great and small. You give the victory to all. You give the victory to all. You give the victory to all. Save me from my enemies and troubles great and small. You give the victory to all. You give the victory to all. You give the victory to all. Save me from my enemies and troubles great and small. You give the victory to all. 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 You give the victory to all.
Been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Jesus Christ. When troubles come knocking at your door, don't be afraid, you know it's not like before.
Not like before.
Don't you give in, don't let it bring you down. You don't have to worry anymore. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hold on, we're getting stronger every day.
Stronger every day.
There's no reason for you to go astray.
Don't go astray.
Don't go leaning to your understanding. 'Cause you don't have to worry anyway. We've been made more than conquerors. Overcomers in this life, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ.